This is Steve Sherlock with another internet radio show, or podcast, number 96 in the series for Franklin Matters. And specifically, this is the fourth of a series of 8 audio segments recorded during the informational session on the new high school. The forum was conducted by the school building committee and held at Horace Mann Auditorium on Thursday, November 17th, 2011. This fourth segment continues the question and answer period with Tom Mercer, School Building Committee Chair, Jim Jordan, partner and owner of AI3 Architects, and Sean Fennell, the project manager, providing answers. The questions covered during this segment include, once the drawing is done, will there be a bid process? What is the purpose of the courtyard in the center? How do you compare in dollars per square foot? What would be the project cost for Franklin? What number will be presented when the voters get to the polls? How are the utilities involved at this point? Has the Franklin Facilities Department been involved? At what point is the commissioning agent brought into the project, and how is that done? So without further ado, here is the recording from Thursday evening, November 17th.
Yeah. So what happens is they are going to go through, and we go through 3 stages of design. We're in schematic design right now, we're going to design development and construction documents. In each one of those stages, we produce a set of documents. Schematic design, talking off the cuff, there would be maybe 100 sheets of drawings. Design development will be 200 or 300 sheets of drawings. And I think the CD set of documents is significantly more than that. The drawing evolves into, you know, a thorough set of documents. Prior to bidding next summer, we're going to go through a pre-qualification process. So we pre-qualify filed sub-bidders and general contractors to bid on the project. Once we had the list of pre-qualified contractors, we time it with the completion of the drawings, and then it's publicly advertised to bid to those pre-qualified contractors. They're given a lengthy bid period totaling approximately 6 weeks. So 6 weeks starting August 10th, 2012, they'll be bidding the project, culminating in a bid result, you know, around, say, October 1st of 2012. We will have a formal bid opening, you know, at Town Hall. All the contractors submit their bids. They're publicly opened and read. So it's a formal bid process among pre-qualified contractors.
What's the purpose of the courtyard? Couldn't you maintain efficiency and cut down surface area of the shell core elements by infilling the courtyard, or what is the purpose of the courtyard?
The primary purpose is to allow natural light into the interior spaces around the inside of the circulation ring here. If we were to fill that in, all these classrooms would have living in that natural light. One of the requirements as part of making this project a green school project and following the LEED certification process requires a certain level of natural daylight into all the classroom spaces. Any space where teaching is done has to have a certain level of natural light brought into it. And that's actually increased quite a bit since we designed Whitman Hanson. We got about 50% more natural light coming into these classrooms. So there's a lot of improvements that were made over the Whitman Hanson model to this point that would be part of the Franklin High School project, and it's about a 2-page list that I could go over.
And part of that LEED certification gets us more percentage points.
Yeah, if you choose to be a LEED school, you can either go through the LEED certification process. They have a number of levels of certification. They have certified, then they have silver, gold, and platinum. You have to come in at silver status in order to get the 2 extra reimbursement points that Tom is referring to. You can also go through the Massachusetts CHIPS process, Mass CHIPS it's called, and then you have to receive, I believe, 34 points and be certified green school project there. All the certification for both processes involves design certification as well as construction certification, so you get that certification at the end of the process, but you do get the extra 2% reimbursement points from the MSBA for being a green school.
You mentioned yes. $214 per square foot. Is that in today's dollars?
That was about a year and a half ago.
I believe Norwood finished. finished at 3:05 and they opened in May. Yeah. I believe you were the
We were.
Yeah. That, when people throw around numbers, you be very careful about what numbers they're quoting. There's two different costs. The grand total is called project cost. That includes the design fees, my fee, includes contingency for change orders, it includes all the various things that come up. The site work, the building. So it doesn't surprise me that building was 305 square foot project cost. So then you off the project cost, there's a thing called hard cost. That's just the value of the general contract on a building. So it includes the building, the site work cost, just the stuff that's hard contracted for. Outside the scope of that, in addition to project cost, there's the cost of buying furniture, there's buying computers, that's not in the hard cost. And then the number Jim was referring to is even less than hard cost. That's just the building without the site work. So you got to be careful when people throw around square foot numbers. That's exactly what they're talking about.
So what would be the project cost for Franklin?
We're working on that right now. This week, Jim submitted the schematic drawings to State Thread right now to cost estimators in my office and the independent cost estimator they hired. That process is going to culminate first week of December. We're going to get together and reconcile the two estimates, make sure we're looking at the same drawings the same way. And at the end of that first week, I think it's December 8th or 9th, we are having a building committee meeting to present the cost there. And upon discussion and approval from the building committee, we're going to submit all this to MSBA. So it's we're not at that stage yet, but we're getting close.
So it's obviously something higher than 214, to the first gentleman's question.
Yeah, the higher, right, the construction cost. I think the hard cost of naming bid at, I think, 243 a square foot, but you know, that's going back a year and a half ago now, so things have gone up a bit since then.
That same time period, just bid out.
Even if that's 243 and native, though, you have to add the furniture, technology, the architect's fee, our fee, you know, contingency, all these other things that are part of the process, too.
Just a question for you, sir. I forget your name. I apologize.
I answered anything.
When there's a vote coming up, I was
just going to
get this. Which number is going to be presented for that?
Oh, it'll be the total project cost.
The total, so the
total project cost.
Absolute.
Hard number.
Just as a recommendation for your committee, something that would help, I think, because everybody is concerned about the cost.
Of course.
All of these other schools went through this process, the four schools. I would love to see a chart that say they voted on this number. The first kid walked in the door and they were at this.
That information is actually available on the MSBA's website. If you want, it's massschoolbuildings.org. Set aside a big cup of coffee in a couple hours. You'll find it.
I think everyone's afraid of getting Newton.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Sure.
So the reason why I'm being a stickler about the price is, I mean, I hope to stand up there with you and say, this has been really exhaustively researched and priced right. And I'm just nervous that our first salvo to the town, which I know is going to be a pretty tough vote anyways, is we don't really answer where we start with four choices. We just say we pick one.
And I think no, that's not true. That's totally not true.
I say, though, respectfully, if you go with a bigger school, I know it affects site work. I'm not a construction expert, but I have built some pretty large buildings. And I'm just saying, Tom, that's what I'm nervous about. That's why I'm asking the questions.
Perhaps we're not explaining ourselves well enough. I think we should expand on this point a little more. Regardless, yeah, to a large degree, regardless of which of the four architects we chose, the building would be the same square footage. It would be 306,000 square feet, give or take a little bit.
Same two-story, three-story, site work would be different. That's what I'm asking is, if someone would put pen to paper, you know, that's what I'm getting at is. But I'd love to put out a flyer and say, here's the four school options, here's the architect's fees, and this rings the bell, because it was exhaustively looked at. That's...
Yeah.
Delay it. I'm just say,
the way the public process works is the architects are not paid for their effort they put in prior to getting a contract. So
right.
They actually do expend a lot of energy, and sure, Jim can attest, you know, putting together a presentation to the town. But they don't really design a building that is thorough enough that it could actually be priced by, you know, a cost estimator is what it would cost. I mean, is that accurate, Jim?
Yeah.
But in December, you're going to present the scope of the project to the MSBA. And that's going to have a lot of the bells and whistles, and it's going to be the scope of the project. I mean,
mm-hmm.
That's going to be what you estimate.
That's right, yeah. We are absolutely pricing, you know, a set of documents right now that is going to be, you know, we have a definitive cost estimate the first week of December.
Okay.
That's
right. Right there. Yes. Very, very quick question.
Sure.
Enstar Electric, Company of Gas, you talked about rebate incentives. Are they on board in any degree right now? Either with the conceptual design, even if it's a, I don't know where you are, schematic 60%, where are you?
It's a schematic design phase right now that we're wrapping up. And from that point, we're engaging our energy consultant, which is KEMA. And they're located in Burlington, Massachusetts. And they do a lot of the investigation with the utility company to see what kind of rebates are available, especially electrical rebates. We also pursue that with our mechanical engineer. So it's a collaboration between the architect, the mechanical engineer, and the electrical engineer, as well as our energy consultant. Every project in the program is required to have an energy consultant on their team. So in this next phase that we're entering into after December 9th, we're going to be reaching out to the utility companies to gain their support for the project and see what kind of incentive rebates are available.
Is the energy consultant a requirement because you're a USGBC LEED building?
One of the things we have to prove is that we're baseline 10% more energy efficient than a building designed to meet code. So you have to meet that benchmark just to get accepted into the LEED for Schools program. Once you get accepted into that program or you have that baseline, you start making your building more energy efficient from that point forward. And that's where the collaboration process really starts with all the consultants, including the site consultant, because there's a lot of credits that are LEED associated for site work specifically. So that kind of work is going to start now that the footprint, the educational program is set. The building has a setting on the site. We know its orientation, and we know the general size of the building and the parameters for its solar orientation, so we can start doing the energy modeling that's required to have these conversations with the utility company. So it's a process, and we're just starting that process now.
Has anybody from the school committee or facilities folks here in Franklin given any directions as to their wants and desires in terms of mechanical systems types,
absolutely,
ventilation and zoning?
Our facilities director is on the committee and has worked with them extensively.
Like D'Angelo?
Yes.
Okay. And one final question. This is a USGBC LEED job, so at some point a commissioning agent will be brought into the process. How is that done? Has it been done?
The MSBA controls that process. They want it to be a completely independent process from the design team or the owner's project manager. And the MSBA assigns a commissioning agent to the project. And that usually, we could start conversations with them, but they won't assign that company to the project until we get through the project scope and budget phase. Once we submit and get accepted by the board approval, within a few weeks after that, we usually see a commissioning agent come through, and then we start interacting with that commissioning agent with the rest of the consultants on the team.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Be sure to listen to other parts of the series. Part 1 included the introduction and evolution of the model school invitation. Part 2 covered Jim Jordan, the partner and owner of AI3 Architects, as he provided an overview of the building. Part 3 get into the first set of questions and answers. Parts 5, 6, 7, and 8 will complete the question and answer period and then bring us to a close. So while this podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, I can use your help. How can you help, you ask? If you like this, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please let me know. This feedback loop is important, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is entitled Ernesto Mañana. Copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008 and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.